Got the cherry blossom allergies to go with it.
Oh, man. I had allergies this week for the first time ever. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
It's horrible. I don't know how people deal with it. It's terrible.
It's the worst.
It is the worst.
Well, hey, everybody. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is the Ides of March, Friday, March the 15th. Hope you didn't stab anybody in the back today.
I didn't see that coming. I'm Kai Ristall. Thanks for joining us on the podcast and on the YouTube live stream. It is Friday, of course. We are going to do a little happy hour today and some other stuff. Oh, my goodness. No stabbing, though.
No stabbing. All right. So today we have a special edition of Economics on Tap. It's our annual cherry blossom party. I should say my annual cherry blossom party because Kai didn't wear his shirt today, but that's okay. We love him anyway. As usual, we're going to get to some news. We're going to take a break. We're going to play a game. But before we do that, we're going to talk drinks. And my drink is, of course, cherry blossom themed. I have a cherry blossom highball, which has cherry blossom syrup, sake, whiskey, and a Luxardo cherries topped with a little bit of club soda. So that's my drink.
Man,
what are you drinking?
That's a lot. There's a lot going on there. My goodness.
And it's delicious. Quite refreshing.
Good, 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 good. I am drinking Dinosaur World Modern Times Hazy IPA. ABV is 8.0 for those of you keeping track. It's actually a double IPA. Quite tasty. I've become a fan of Modern Times. I think they're down here in Southern California somewhere. But, you know, and I'm going to have another one after the show because I'm going to dinner with my mother-in-law tonight and nobody needs that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. In the chat, shout out to Chris Kerr, who says on theme, he's having a black cherry martini, home-infused Tito's with Washington black cherries. Love that. That sounds good.
That's very impressive. Home-infused Tito's. My goodness.
I'm a big fan of infusing like things with different types of whiskeys at home. When I was living abroad and in Egypt, there wasn't exactly a large variety of choice, you know, when it came to booze. So I was infusing everything. I was making like sage infused bourbon and, you know, pomegranate infused vodka and like all the little things so I could have the cocktails that I wanted. So all the infusions. And I see people enjoying my decor. Yes, I went all out for the cherry blossom theme. I've got my cherry blossom duvet cover and pillowcases and my flowers and even turned on the little pink lights. I should have put some cherry blossoms on Jasper, but I don't think he would have tolerated it
totally
very well.
I would like to have a word with Samuel Priorak in the chat. Coffee from the morning with coffee ice cubes and oat milk foam. Look, I'm with you on the coffee ice cubes and oat milk foam. You can do whatever you want there, but good God, man, pour a fresh pot of coffee, will you? come on.
Oh, man. Let's see. What else do we have? Let's see. I hear a lot about Jasper. Okay. Brett Bardo has a bourbon Manhattan. Dan Mead with a Guinness. And
here's one from St. Louis. Sarah Svei. Sorry. I'm butchering your name, Sarah. I really apologize. Pinot Paris in Tower Grove Park, St. Louis, STL. That's St. Louis, right?
That is literally across the street from where I went to school from preschool until I graduated from high school.
There you go.
I ran around that park many times for track and field, and that is why my knees are shot.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
Yeah, because our school didn't have its own track, so we ran around the park.
Oh, there you go. One more non-alcoholic from the YouTube chat, and then we'll get going. Rohan Kalabashwari, he says, I very much enjoy the P-63. So that's a fighter from back in the Second World War. Kai, please tell me your favorite fighter. Well, got to go P-38, right? But also the Tomcat, the F-14. Got to do it. That's it for my nostalgia. There
so that's it for your nostalgia. What's your news while I deal with my allergies over here?
Oh, what's my news? So I've got two, actually. One, actually, aviation-related, which is just a quickie. But and my first one's not really news. It's more, come on. Sorry, I got to open the door for Bonds. Come on.
Well, I love how we're both, like handling life. Allergies,
I know, right?
Dogs, all the things.
Honest to God, allergies are terrible. And look, my kids have dealt with it. My wife all the time. I've never really had them. And this year, you'd think it was the end of the world. Because I was like, oh, my God, honey, you're terrible. And she's like, cowboy up, you weenie. Take a Zyrtec. Anyway, No, she loves me very much. So,
I'm sure.
Article in the New York Times today, which I will just read the headline of and kind of let it sit there. Kushner, as in Jared, developing deals overseas even as his father-in-law runs for president. So this is amid all the Hunter Biden hysteria. And let me point out, as I've said, I think, on this podcast before, what Hunter Biden has done, while perhaps not criminal, was at the very least bad judgment. And his father should have known better and sat him down and said, Hunter, cut it out. Right? Forget the gun thing. I'm talking about the Burisma and you know, Chinese, all that jazz, right? At the very least, looks really terrible. Cut it out. But Jared Kushner went from the White House to getting a $2 billion fund together with money from the Saudis and now is making deals with like Albania and somebody else, this article points out. And I can't. I just can't anymore. Just do the right thing, people. Spike Lee said it. Do the right thing. That's it.
I don't think that's ever been a motivating factor in politics.
I know, I know, I know. I can't even. All right, so there's that. I just want to make sure everybody saw that because it's, you know, it's still happening in the Trump family, and my goodness. Mm-hmm. Number two, and more substantively, Boeing. Are you kidding me? So, you remember that it was the beginning of this week where a LATAM 787, which is, you know, Boeing's spiffy new airplane, plunged like several hundred feet inexplicably. Everybody on the plane basically was hurt. It was like going down a roller coaster. Here is what happened. A flight attendant hit a button on the back of the pilot's seat while serving a meal, and I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal, leading a motorized feature to push the pilot into the controls and push down the plane's nose, according to U.S. industry officials briefed on preliminary evidence from this investigation. The switch on the back of the chair is usually covered and is not supposed to be used when the pilot is in the seat. The flight attendant, hit a button and the pilot went careening into the controls. That, I'm just going to say, that's bad design. That's bad cockpit design. Boeing is in such trouble. Such freaking trouble.
And yet, it's not like there's a lot of options on the market globally
if
you want to buy a plane.
As we've said, right? Totally.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Anyway. Go ahead. Sorry. That's my rant. I've got mine were a little ranty anymore today. So, you know.
Yeah, we get to be ranty. It's a Friday. Right. I was so fascinated by this National Association of Realtors settlement that broke this morning. It's a huge deal. So, backstory, the National Association of Realtors and a couple of big real estate brokerages have been getting sued all over the country saying the way that they set real estate commissions is illegal, that it's basically, collusion, and that they're conspiring to keep prices high, and they're losing. They're pretty much losing all these cases or settling. And so the National Association of Realtors has reached sort of a nationwide settlement, assuming the federal government signs off on it, that they will pay $418 million in damages. That money would mainly go to sellers and, of course, the lawyers. And a bigger deal is that they're going to amend, change, slash eliminate some of the rules that create the foundation for the 6% commission on home sales.
Right.
And that 6% commission is traditionally split between the buyers and the seller's brokers, and they would post that on the MLS. And the National Association of Realtors is saying, we're not going to do that anymore, at least not on the MLS. They're not saying that, you know, buyers and sellers, brokers can't talk to each other about it. They're just saying that they're not going to require it posted on the MLS. And depending on who you talk to, it either means that, you know, buyers and sellers are going to be able to negotiate those rates a little bit lower or eliminate them altogether. Other people say it means that people who don't have a lot of money are going to struggle to get good representation. What I'm the most curious about is what this is going to do to this sort of sector of the real estate industry, which is real estate agents who just sort of do it on the side or who pick it up in between other jobs, because if, as long as you can sort of get somebody to sign you on, whether you do something or not, whether you help them or not, you still get that commission. Like, there's quite a few brokers out there and quite a few agents, and many real estate agents do wonderful things and are incredibly helpful to their buyers and sellers and life-changing and everything. But there are a lot of people out there who just show up and hand you papers and still get tens of thousands of dollars for it. And I'll be very interested to see what happens to the size of the real estate industry after this. What was your take on the story when you saw it?
Well, I think it's super interesting. And the thing I keyed in on was, you know, we, that is the home buying and selling public, pay about $100 billion in commissions every year. So let's say the standard 6% commission gets cut in half-ish. That's $50 billion that is not being paid to real estate agents and stays in the pockets of buyers and sellers. I brought that up with Neela Richardson, who's now at ADP, but used to be the chief economist at Redfin, the real estate, online real estate brokerage, today on Marketplace. Excuse me. And she pointed out that, yes, fine, that's all well and good. But given mortgage rates where they are, which is, you know, coming down just a tad, but still relatively high, and the fact that home inventory is so low, a lot of those savings that might have been realized by buyers and sellers will go away because of that crunch. Like, a lot of people had been foregoing inspections on homes. Now that may pick back up now that the real estate commissions are changing. So there's a great deal of fungibility in how much saving there will actually be. I think it's a good thing, right? The cabal seems to have been broken. Look, I really like the woman who sold us our house, but I didn't really love paying her 6%. So it's good that it's been broken, but much like the peace dividend, it may not actually show up. That was Neela's take.
Yeah. And some of the folks are saying in the chat in the Discord that it just means that, you know, the good listings are going to be on like the dark market or pocket listings or things
like totally.
That.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah. Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other story, and it's a little bit of a longer read, but I would encourage folks to look at it. It's in Politico magazine. And the headline is, "An obscure group hounded Kyrsten Sinema for years and it worked. Is this a sign of things to come?" Now, Kyrsten Sinema has said that she is not going to run for another term in the Senate. And there are a whole bunch of reasons feeding into that. But what this article highlights is that Kyrsten Sinema was the subject of a relatively new strategy in money and politics, which is not a single issue political action committee, but a single opposing a candidate political action committee. So maybe you'll have a political action committee that cares about an issue or supports a candidate, and they'll throw money at it for that reason. But this PAC solely existed to get Kyrsten Sinema out of the Senate, just to make her leave. And for years, I mean, so I'm going to read this. "For years, Sinema was on the receiving end of a relatively unusual political money phenomenon in the Capitol's politics industry, the single-target PAC, an outfit geared toward creating precisely the outcome that became real when the senator announced her exit. For better or worse, it is a model that probably won't stay rare for long. And whatever you think of Sinema, the effort against her is also likely to speed up some of the most brutal trends in politics, another way for deep-pocketed donors to further wage permanent war on rivals who might not always make such obvious targets." And later on in the article, it says, "Now with Sinema on her way out, the team behind this PAC, the team is taking a victory lap of sorts. Tell Kyrsten I want her to know it was me," and pulling back the curtain on how it went down.
Right?
Yes. Oh, anyway, I mean, super interesting. Yeah. And yeah, it was launched in 2021 as Primary Sinema. And then later, you know, went on to just be like Change for Arizona 2024 PAC and a bunch of other names. But the whole purpose, the whole time, has been going after Kyrsten Sinema.
Tell me again how money is speech in politics.
Because the Supreme Court said so.
Yeah, I know.
Because corporations are people too. As a court, that was Mitt Romney, not the Supreme Court. But anyway, oh boy. Anyway.
So we're gonna take a break because we're done with the news. And before we do, though, here is the reality. Kimberly and I have a lot of fun on this podcast, especially on Fridays, but you know, most days anyway. But We cannot do it without you. We are on the pointy end of the sword, as it were, right? We get to sit in front of the microphone, but there's a team of people behind us who do the hard work. And we, and by we I mean you, need to help support them because none of this comes free. I mention this because this is Marketplace's 35th anniversary. We have been doing this for 35 years. We've been doing this podcast for like six or eight, but whatever. Our journalism matters. Millions of people hear us. Many hundreds of you, 325 of you right now, are on the live stream with us. We have some fun, but we impart important information. And the only way that happens is that if you help us out, right? So marketplace.org/givesmart is where you go. Please, please give if you can. That's Willie. Sorry.
Yes. She's please and thank you. Well, Jasper's the one who jingles, so all the animals make noises. But we do have some limited edition thank you gifts with our old sort of dot-com era logo. It's we've got stickers, we've got glass mugs, we've got canvas tote bags, and since everything retro is, you know, back and everything, time is a circle and all the things. Anyway, and a soft t-shirt. All the classic public media swag. You can get any of those things at different giving levels. There's always something for you. You can check those out, marketplace.org/givesmart. And you can also just opt to give us all your money, and we would really appreciate that too. But if you check in whatever
some,
you can.
Some significant portion of all your money, I'd be all right.
Some significant portion, you know, you should save some for, you know, cocktails. That's crucial.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever you can chip in, we'd be grateful. And that will keep us going for the next, you know, 35 years or so. Hopefully, maybe, possibly. Anyway, you can go to marketplace.org/givesmart. We would appreciate any contribution you can make. And we will be right back.
My favorite part of the toss to the We Will Be Right Back credit is the jingling of the ice cubes in your cocktail. That was my favorite part.
The jingling of the ice cubes.
Yep.
What is it, the ASMR stuff? Anyhow, now it's time to play our game. This or That This Time is what we're playing. Also hosted by the wonderful Drew Drosted. Take it away, Drew.
First question, April showers or May flowers?
Seriously?
April showers.
Sorry. May flowers.
Why?
Boom. Why? Look, I live in Southern California. I did not come here for the rain. I'm kidding. I like it when it rains here. I like it when it rains here, but I enjoy a nice floral bouquet in the air. What can I tell you?
Well, we get our flowers, the really pretty ones here, especially in March and April. So I'll take I'm looking outside the window at the magnolias that are already going and waiting for the cherry blossoms. But also, I love the rain. I love the way the rain sounds. I love the way rain smells. I've always liked thunderstorms and things. And, you know, although I do like gardening, I also have plants inside. And I can sit with my plants inside while it's raining and listen to the sound of the rain on the window. And it makes me happy.
You know, it's great. Vav413 says allergies, which I have a new appreciation for. Let me just say. All right, Drew, go ahead.
Next up, peeps or jelly beans?
Oh, my God. Sorry. I have thoughts. Go ahead.
Can I tell you, the very first job I ever had in journalism was an internship at KDNL Channel 30 in St. Louis, Missouri, and there was a reporter who had a peep sitting on his desk that had been there for 6 years, and it looked pristine. But I love peeps. So peeps over jelly beans is my answer. What's yours?
That's so funny because when I was at KQED many a moon ago, there was a peep that was like it was one of those long push pins, and it was push pinned into the daily assignment reporter board. And it was there for, you know, years and years and years. And it looked absolutely fine. I think peeps are gross. Jelly beans any day.
Oh, okay. Have you ever seen the Washington Post, like their peep competition that they used to do? It was like the peeps dioramas. Oh my gosh.
No.
I have to find the link and maybe we can put it in the show notes, but they were amazing and they used to do it every spring. I don't think they do it anymore. So
Oh, look at this. Margie Klitsch in the YouTube chat. Shout out to the Washington Post Peep Show Diorama Contest. Boom. There you go.
It was amazing. All right. What's next?
Same thing.
Moving on to homemade desserts, cherry pie or cherry cobbler?
Oh, very good question. Not easy.
Huh. I'll take the cobbler.
Yeah, same, same. I think because the it's a crust issue, right? If you have a cherry pie, then it's a lot of cherry on top and then the thin crust. A cobbler, you get the stuff all together at the same time. Yeah, no, cobbler for sure.
I feel like with a cherry pie, it's never solid enough for me. And pie to me feels like it needs to be a bit more solid. But yep, a cherry cobbler, it's easier with like the spoon or the fork and like then all the other
agree.
Things.
Yep, yeah. Totally agree.
Okay.
You know what's funny? It's just, super quick scanning of the chat is that people are like 50-50. We should have made this the poll question, honestly.
This should have been the poll, yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it was Pi Day yesterday, so people probably, a lot of people have pie on the mind, also known as STL.
That's a producer
day.
Fail right there. Let me just say, producer fail right there.
You haven't even heard the poll one yet.
Okay.
No,
are we at the poll yet, or we need more?
We got two left.
Okay, let's do it.
First up, cherry blossom trees or jacaranda trees?
Oh, that's such a good one.
I've not seen the jacaranda trees in person, so I don't feel like I'm entitled to judge. You've seen them both, so what do you think?
I have seen them both. Here's the thing. Look, the purple – so cherry blossoms in Washington, obviously, national icon, all that jazz, even though they're going to cut down a bunch of them to fix the Jefferson Memorial seawall. Jacaranda trees in Los Angeles and on the West Coast, purple, really just amazing pop of color in the late spring-ish. I'm going to have to go cherry blossom, and here's why. When jacaranda blossoms fall – They are sticky and gross. They're so pretty on the tree, but they fall and it's like locusts, you know? They're a little crunchy, they're a little sticky and smeary, and it's really disgusting. So I'm going to go with cherry blossoms, which are light and airy and, you know, they fall and
yeah, and when they
happens.
Fall, it's just beautiful.
right, exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right, then I'll 1,000%. Stick with cherry blossoms. Yes, cherry blossoms all the way.
Okay, now it's the poll.
Okay.
Okay.
Folks in the chat, get ready.
Would you rather go to D.C. for cherry blossom season or California for a wildflower super bloom?
So when we have a lot of rain out here, which we've had the last 2 years, the wildflowers up in some of the protected areas in the foothills and as you get up into the mountains around Los Angeles and sort of the south central coast, wildflowers go, go crazy. It is almost psychedelic. It's out of like a Willy Wonka movie. Even though I live here, I have never done that touristy kind of thing and actually gone to see the wildflowers. So I personally would do the wildflowers because it is such a different experience than the cherry trees, which are pretty, as I said before, but been there, done that.
I'm really torn because on the one hand, I would want to see, as somebody was pointing out in the chat, the super bloom is intermittent and unexpected, so you appreciate it more.
Yeah.
So that I would love to see. However, one of my favorite things about the cherry blossoms, even though they're sort of like similar every year, is lots of people try to time their wedding and quinceañera and other kind of photos to it. So you get to see all these people like trying to catch it. So it's like lots of moments of joy that you that you get to see along with the cherry blossoms. And people are just so happy, except for the terrible tourists who tear branches off the trees. Don't do that. It's a federal offense.
It is literally a federal crime. Do not
it
do
is
that.
A federal crime. Stop it. Anyway, but I like watching people. I have said words to people, I will say.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God.
Including children.
Oh my God.
But anyway, I like I would love to see the Super Bloom. I'm going to go with Super Bloom, even though I do love cherry blossoms. It's okay, cool. let us
close that
close the poll and see what everybody said.
We're gonna wait.
Oh, April McCaffrey says they had to put up barriers for the wildflowers too. Yikes!
Oh, I actually believe that, right? And it's not people plucking the wildflowers; it's people walking and trampling them. Yeah, so it's the same thing as the cherry blossoms, but you know, sort of different. The flip side of the coin.
Yeah. All right. So 65% say they'd rather see California's wildflower super bloom, and just a 34% DC's cherry blossom season. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll allow it.
That's fine. All right. We'll allow it. We will allow it.
Especially if you will have a wildflower super bloom party to counter my cherry blossom party.
Yes.
Yes, sure. Not going to happen. All right. We're done. Yes. We didn't have the sting. Are we done?
Nah, no, it's all right. Whatever.
Okay. I was waiting for the music.
There it is.
All right, that's really it for us today. If you have a question or comment you want to share with us, or your own cherry blossom themed cocktail you think I should try, or California wildflower super bloom cocktail, maybe?
Yep. I don't even know.
Yeah, share it with us. You know where to find us. We are at 508 UB Smart. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can also email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Berg. Secret of today's episode was engineered by, I think it's Justin Dueler, not Juan Carlos, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's Juan Carlos. I don't know. Toss up. Talia Machaca, in any case, is our intern. If only
the team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand. Boom. Do you still have the cherry blossom shirt?
I do. It's in my closet, and I was, okay, this is going to sound lame. I was going to go get it, but my wife is on a call in our bedroom, and that's where my closet is, and so I couldn't go get it. So here I am.
Okay. That's fair.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.